Welcome to Voices of Freedom. Great to have you here. The thought that keeps running through my head this Monday morning is come to Jesus. And I hate to break it to you, but, you know, we've all said the statement, or maybe our boss has said, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting in the morning. So even the world recognizes a come to Jesus moment is a serious moment. It's a serious time when you lay the cards on the table and you just got to decide, hey, am I going to go with Jesus in this thing, or am I going to go a different direction? So this morning, I'm going to go with what you see on that screen when you log in. And what you see there is the plan of salvation. And in order for you to come to Jesus, Jesus has got to be talking to you or talking to your heart or putting it on your heart that he wants you to come. So that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to see if you got problems in your life or you've got things that you just don't understand what's going on. There may be a reason for that. And I recognize what was going on in my life, and what that was is Jesus wanting attention and wanting to take over my life because he was looking at mine and saying, son, you're not doing that good with this. Let me handle this. Let me take care of this. Let me put myself in position to lead you, and then some great things will happen. So how does this happen? How do we come into this situation where whether mankind believes in God or not, it's irrelevant? We look around and we see the seasons. We see how they change. They see the earth. They see there's no end. And through all the things that we see, we still want to deny that God is real. Now, most of us don't want to really deny that he's real. What most of us want to do is sneak around and try to wait to the last minute and jump in the ark door just before the ark gets sealed. Well, you know, that's a silly thing to try to do because, number one, Jesus said that he would come like a thief in the night. And you know what the thief does? The thief doesn't come and take everything in your house. He only comes and takes the very best you've got. So the idea is, in the world, I may never be viewed as the best. But in God's eyes, because I surrendered to him in March 1997, in God's eyes, I'm one of the best. In God's eyes, the children are some of the best. In God's eyes, the people who have bowed down and surrendered to Jesus and said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, those are the treasures that God will come and get and take out of here to a place called heaven one day. Now, what's the point of all this? The point is just realizing how much God has already loved us. I don't want to jump ahead, but the fact that God even wants a relationship with people that are as pitiful as us ought to be exciting to us. When we read through the Bible and we see time and time again how mankind fails and God still loved us, we ought to be excited about that. So in order to get it all in, we better hustle here. Let's think about John 3:16, probably the most known and most quoted verse in the Bible. But let's give it to you here. It says, for God so loved the world. I tell you what, he so loved the world. He had a plan from the beginning of the world of what we were going to need, what we were going to need to do. And here's how it plays out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, by believing in Jesus Christ, I will not perish. So come to Jesus is going to keep me from perishing. And it says, I will have everlasting life. We shouldn't need another verse. Because I can't work my way into this thing. There's not an apprenticeship program that I take. There's nothing in the world else I have to do except to believe on Jesus and await further details. And we'll get to those later. Now, the biggest problem for a lot of people to realize is that we're all sinners. In Romans 3:10 and 3:23, those are the two verses that tell you and me we are sinners. We were born with the sin nature. It's real easy for us to lie to somebody. It's real easy for us to cheat somebody or get the angle on somebody. Excuse me. So the bottom line is we look at those verses and we see all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Read the other verse and see there's none good, no, not one. So the big problem in hell is full of people today that were morally decent people. They never came to Jesus. Why didn't they come? They didn't come because they thought they were as good as anybody. They thought they were as good as the hypocrites that they call Christians. They thought they had everything they needed. Listen, if you're looking at me to get to heaven, you're going to be way short. If you're looking at your preacher, if you're looking at, you know, the next door neighbor that happens to be a deacon or a preacher or a missionary or whatever, if you're looking at something other than coming to Jesus and Jesus directly, you're going to miss this thing. So when I recognize that I all have sinned, that includes myself, I'm the chief among sinners is what Paul said. So guess what? There's none of us any good. If Paul, in all the good things that he did for the Lord Jesus Christ, still recognized that he was a pitiful sinner saved by grace, you and I better recognize it too. Now here's the deal. The wages of our sin is death. What does that mean? That means what I've earned for the first 30 years of my life should have been death. God should have just taken me out anytime during those 30 years after the age of accountability, struck me dead, and said, you know what, Lunsford, you're not worth it. I mean, let's just be honest. You're not worth it. There's nothing here for you. All you are is a sinner. All you do is hurt other people. There's nothing good about you. Okay? But here we go. We get into John chapter 1, verse 12, and we see, but as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12, this is beautiful. You ought to circle this. You ought to commit it to memory, staple it on your forehead, whatever you got to do, because it says, as many as received Jesus. And he's talking about Jesus is walking around on the earth at this time. You know, of course, this is written a little bit after that. But as many as received Jesus, Jesus told them, if you repent, you can have eternal life. So that's a beautiful thing. If you were walking in the time of Jesus and you surrendered to Jesus, became a follower of Jesus, he made you fisher of men, happy hallelujah. But let me show you what's in here for you and me. It says, and even to them that believe on his name. If you go over to your King James Bible or some of the better translations out here today, I know some people are pure King James, and I have kind of grown up that way, but there are some decent translations. Make sure you compare the King James to whatever you're looking at to make sure you don't lose anything. But here it is. As many as in Jesus' time would come to him, Jesus would say, you're in the kingdom, follow me today, you know, thou shalt be with me in paradise, he told the thief on the cross. So Jesus was allowing people to know that they could follow him right then. But look at this last part of this verse in chapter John 1:12. It says, even to them that believe on his name. So I didn't have to be with Jesus 2,000 years ago to get saved. All I've got to do is read this Bible and believe the words that are in here. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe he had a death for me. Believe he shed his blood for me. Believe he had the power to pick his life back up again and come out of that grave. I wasn't there. I don't have to wait for proof. I don't need a CSI episode to figure this thing out. But guess what? Jesus, in all of his power, overcame death, hell, and the grave in the same weekend. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that is, 15:3-4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received concerning how that Christ died for the... Man, I can't even read that. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, which is basically what I had just said. But here's the thing I like about what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. My job is to deliver the gospel. It's not to get sidetracked because I'm running for state senate. It's not to get sidetracked because I'm running for magistrate or dog catcher. It's not to get sidetracked. My job does not change. I need to deliver unto the people out there the same thing that I received from Jesus Christ, and that is the recognition that I was a sinner, the recognition that I was on my way to hell, the recognition, see, recognition being used in a different way here, I recognize some things. And the big thing was, if I died, I was not going to heaven. That's a big thing. Okay. Now, here's the deal. You're looking for a job. Can't find a job. You hear about a training program, but it's 2 years away. Or you hear about a training program, and it's in another part of the country, and you can't get there. You hear about all these different things. And for whatever reason, you can't make that happen. Well, let me tell you something. All may be saved right now. Revelation 3:20, Jesus himself says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Follow me? If anybody hears my voice, I'm going to come in to him. Anybody hears me, anybody accepts me, am I going to hear it in an audible voice? Probably not. But I knew it. I knew what was going on. In my life, I was under conviction about 6 months before I got saved. I'd probably been under conviction for 10 years, maybe 20. Knew where I needed to be, knew what I needed to do, didn't think I could live it. And guess what? I was right about that. But nobody said the Holy Spirit of God, God himself will live inside of you if you surrender. That's the missing part. It's not you saying, I'm coming to Jesus this morning and surrendering and getting up and going a different direction or going back to what you were. It's surrendering to Jesus and having a moment in time with Jesus where you have that come to Jesus meeting. And you say, I can't do this anymore. And Jesus says, let me help you, son. Let me do it for you. Let me bring you through this thing. Man, is that not some fantastic stuff? See, it says here in Romans or Revelation, I read you about the door being open, but it also says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, I tell you what, you see a lot of crazy things. You see favoritism out there, and that's a lot of the problems in society today is we've got people that got their positions because of favoritism, and they really can't do anything, but their uncle or their dad or somebody important got them the job, and that's really a lot of the problems with society today. You got people in positions that have no idea what they're doing. Now, how do you work around that? Well, you work around that because you and me are the whosoever's. So Jesus doesn't look at your background. He doesn't look at who your dad is. God is no respecter of persons. What God says is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if I call on Jesus and I say, come to me, Jesus, or Jesus, let me come to you is the best way, he's going to let me do it because it's his goodwill, it's his pleasure, it's his love for us that he loved us so much to send his very own son. Let me give you one more here real quick. Assurance as a believer. In Romans 10:9, it tells me that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What do I got to do? What do I got to believe? Confess with thy mouth. Openly say, I am accepting Jesus. I have come to follow Jesus. I am surrendering the world. I am surrendering myself. I came to follow Jesus. Romans 10:9. John 5:24 reads like this, verily, verily, these are Jesus' words, by the way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation and is passed from death unto life. So what is this? He that heareth my word. hey, guess what? You ain't going to get saved on your own. You're not going to turn your life around on your own. You're not going to come to a position on your own where something, all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and Jesus says, hey, you're now entered into the prize of heaven. You know, or you now win first prize and get a free admission to heaven. You're not going to get that, okay? You got to hear the Word of God. Why is this program so important every single morning? Because some people don't go to church that see this link. Some people could click on there. It may be you this morning. You can come to Jesus right here, right now, just as easy as you can in a church of 50, in a church of 100, in a church of 300, 500, 10,000, a million. There is only one church. So there you go. Okay. We're not going to come into condemnation. There's going to be a come to Jesus moment for you one day. You will not come into the condemnation that is talked about here if you've made your decision to believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. If you don't, you will face this condemnation. You will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You will spend eternity in outer darkness. Well, I thought it was hell's fire. Hell's fire, if you really check it out, in the burning sulfurs of the hell fire, brimstone, you're going to find out that it ain't burning red a lot of times, that it's a black smoldering ash. Be thinking on it. One more, and that's in John chapter 5, or chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Isn't that a beautiful thing? How am I going to do it? How can it be done? It can be done because Jesus Christ gives you life just through believing, not by working. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to bleed. He had the power through it all to pick his life back up. Man, that's strong, isn't it? Who's got the power to lay their life down and let the lifeless body go into the grave and pick that life back up and come walking around where people know who you are? Ain't none of us. Excuse the grammar. Listen, the Lord loves you and me. He's got a plan for you and me. He wants us to do miraculous, fantastic, incredible things. But nothing's going to happen with you and Jesus Christ until you surrender to Him and say, I believe. I'm repenting. I'm changing. I'm not doing the things I was doing before. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to follow Jesus. Have a great weekend. I hope and pray we get to be on here with you in the morning. Talk to you soon.